You are listening to the SCC Cast, weekly teaching and preaching from Springview Community Church. Find us on the web at www.springviewcc.org. We are located at 12881 Andersonville Road in Davisburg, Michigan. We welcome you to come as you are to experience a friendly worship setting with biblical preaching, teaching, and application. Now, here's our guest speaker.
How many of you like to travel? How many of you like to travel? Okay, here's a two-minute project. If you're antisocial, stay in your seat. The rest of you that are willing to participate, when I give you the go-ahead, you'll need to stand up and follow my directions. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Think to yourself for a moment, if money and time were not a factor, where would you like to travel to? If money and time were no object, you could go anywhere for a week or a month, whatever. Where would you like to go? Don't say it out loud. Get it in your mind. And you have 2 minutes to find as many others as possible who want to go to the same place you want to go. If you don't want to participate, be antisocial. Open your Bible to Exodus. Did all of you get a handout? You're going to need a handout. Anybody? All right, you got 2 minutes. As many people as you can, stand up, get going now. You know, traveling is great. Traveling is so exciting. New experiences. But there's some risks with traveling, especially if you travel with others. My wife is coming out of her shell and has started to enjoy traveling. And if I say to her, dear, would you like to go to, she says yes. She wants to go anywhere and everywhere all the time. But this morning, we want to look at a bit of a journey. And today's a special day and a day that needs to be marked, if you will, because we embrace and embark on a new year. And it's a good time for us to be together and to acknowledge that we're on a journey. We're on a journey together. And from the book of Exodus, turn to chapter 13 to start. There's so much for us to learn. Because the journey of the children of Israel is very similar to the journey of life. The journey of life. And the big idea this morning is that the journey will test and develop your faith. The journey will test and develop our faith. Exodus chapter 13, just a few verses. And let's pick it up in verse 14. And you know the story of the Exodus, right? You know the story of the Exodus. Those people had endured 400 years of turmoil and trouble and were about to embark on a journey. And oh, the things they needed to learn, very similar to many of the things you and I are in the process of learning and will need to learn as the journey continues. Exodus 13, verse 14, in the days to come, when your son says, what does this mean? You say to your son, with a mighty hand, The Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrificed to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it'll be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. What a day of celebration it was for them to leave Egypt and to begin their journey. And I want to share three simple observations with you this morning about the journey. These are true for them, and I know they're true for you and me. Three simple observations. You already know most of this. But as we embark on the journey of a new year, I want us to affirm and commit ourselves to working on these three things in the coming year. The first one is that God has a purpose for this journey. God has a purpose for the journey. I have a propensity and a tendency to be destination and time oriented. I've been here before, and when Jane asked me, what time do we need to leave tomorrow? I said, we need to leave by 9 o'clock from Ann Arbor. And in my mind, I intended to be here at 10 a.m. Not 10:15, 10 a.m. I am destination and time oriented. And guess what time we rolled in this morning? And I have a witness. It was 10 o'clock. Way to go, Pastor Jack. Way to go. You arrived on time. Oh, thank you. It's overwhelming. While the destination may be important to us, God is more concerned about the process. God is more concerned about the process. Now, the children of Israel left Egypt, and they never knew anything other than the harshness and the bondage and the cruelty of Egypt. They never knew anything else. And they launched out with joy and gratitude and misguided intentions. Their intention was the destination. And where did they want and where did they intend to go? Canaan. Oh, we want to go to this land. It'll be so great. It'll be so great. It'll be so great. God was more concerned and had a higher purpose than relocation and geography. God's purpose was to give them the freedom to worship him. Please, please write this down. Fill this in. God's purpose wasn't the place. God's purpose was the relationship. Now, if you're here this morning, and it doesn't ring somehow with you that God is concerned about a relationship, we would love to talk to you, because all that we do, all that this church is about fundamentally is a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. We sang about it. We talk about it. Jesus rose from the dead to accomplish that. And while you and I might be prone to being destination-oriented, God's primary concern was not the place. It was the relationship. And I must tell you, if you travel with me, you will find out, yep, he really is destination-oriented. He really is. I'm focused. So we get going, and I have a time frame in mind, and my wife says, oh, could we stop there? No. No. She's learned if she needs a rest stop, you better give me a half hour's forewarning. We have to get there. We have to get there. Don't you understand? We have to get there. God's more concerned about the relationship. One of the key issues as we embark on a new year today is this. Do you want to make God's purpose the priority or yours? Are you willing today to reaffirm and commit to God's purpose for your life in the coming year? What would that look like? Well, that might involve listening to God, right? It might involve cooperating with Him when things get a little chaotic. What does God want to teach me? How does God want to develop my relationship with Him? A couple more things on this point before we leave chapter 13. Notice verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was what? Shorter. God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Armed for battle. Couple observations here. The first one is that God didn't lead them on the shortest route. God didn't lead them. If you track it on a map, you will see it was not the most efficient path. Can I make a confession? If there's a shorter way, I want to take it. If there's a shorter way, I'm in. If I find out there's a traffic jam, I would rather go 20 minutes longer out of the way than get stuck in traffic and not move. I want to take the shortest way. If I found out I was going a longer way than I needed to go, how many of you like me would say, I wouldn't like that? I wouldn't like that. If I knew the way someone was asking me to go was longer than it needed to be, I'd be a little perturbed by that. Why would God do that? Take them on a longer, because God had a purpose they didn't quite understand yet, but God had a purpose for the longer journey. I'm so encouraged that it's very clear that God led them. How did God lead them? You know the story. During the day, God led them by what? A cloud. Now, that's kind of a foreign concept to us in Michigan because we have clouds almost every day. But if it's clear skies and there's a nice white cloud, it's hard to miss that. And at night, how did God lead them? That's hard to miss. Can you acknowledge with me today as we embark on 2023 that God is capable of leading you in the coming year? I don't expect it to be a cloud or a pillar of fire, but as we listen to God, God is able and willing to lead you and guide you day by day, step by step, week by week. Isn't that good news? Because I don't know what's coming in the next year, do you? No, you don't know. Do you want to be led by God? Because the good news is, if you're willing to be led, He can lead you. I often travel with somebody who's willing to give me directives. I don't have a back seat driver. I have a front seat driver. And she's not usually behind the steering wheel. But she tells me where she thinks I should go, where we should go. And I don't often like to be led, because I have my own ideas, my own thoughts. God didn't lead them on the shortest route, but He had purpose for the detours and the lengthier trip. God has a purpose for the journey. And the third observation is that they were armed. They were armed, but they weren't ready. Those of you that have adolescent children or have had adolescent children, you understand what that means, where they think they're ready, but they're not ready for certain things. They were clearly armed for battle, but for 400 years, guess what? They had never fought, because they were in bondage and under control. And God knew if they faced battle with the Philistines right after they got out of Egypt, they would have been soundly and sorely defeated. What do you want to face in the coming year? God is preparing you. It's part of His purpose. You may think you're ready for a promotion. God knows. You may think you're ready for more income. God knows. You may think you're ready for another child or a grandchild. God knows. God knows. I want you to know this morning, and I want you to be encouraged this morning, that God has a purpose for the journey we're on. No matter where you think you are in terms of heading towards your destination or accomplishing your purposes, God has a purpose. And today I want us collectively to affirm, I want God's purpose, not mine. I want God's purpose. There's a second fundamental that we need to reckon with this morning. And as we look at just a little bit of chapter 14, we're going to find out that before long, after they departed and embarked on the journey, that problems were part of the journey. Problems. You know this story. They leave Egypt, they're all excited, and they get a little ways on their journey, and what's a little problem they encountered? Pharaoh chasing, and what in front? The Red Sea. Little problem, eh? And you know what I like to call this? I like to call this being stuck. Can't go back. Can't see a way forward. That's a problem. And I can promise you in 2023, you're going to confront at least one problem on your journey. It might be small. It might be medium. It might be overwhelming. And what do you think was the first thing that came to their mind when they stood there and looked forward and saw the Red Sea and looked back and said, we have death chasing us and we have death in front of us? And you know the first thought that came to their mind? In unison, they said to each other, why don't we stop and pray about this right now? That's how you would respond, right? Because you've been encouraged. Why don't we stop and pray about this right now? Is that what they did when they can? No. Oh, no. Oh gosh, what a lesson to be learned here. I don't know if you've ever felt stuck in life. If you haven't yet, just give it a little time. You'll get there. You'll get there. And how are you going to respond? Problems are part of the journey. And there are times when we feel like there's nothing we can do. Verse 10, Exodus 14, verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, they looked up and there were the Egyptians and they were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out here? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Oh, we had it good back there, didn't we? Man, they had short memories. Verse 13, Moses answered to people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to what? Just be still. Just be still. You know what I tend to do when I face problems? Complain. Moses said, just be still. Boy, that's a good paradigm for us to imitate. Be still. Let God accomplish his purpose in spite of the problem you're facing. I promise you, at some point in this year, you're going to have a problem. How are you going to respond? Some of you came this morning with problems, problems nobody else knows about. How are you coping? Lay awake at night? That helps. Complain? That helps. Be still. Let God do. Let God. Here's something I'm in the process of learning. Until we realize that we can't, likely he won't. Can I encourage you in that and say that again? Until I realize I can't, likely God won't. You know why? Because he needs us to come to the end of ourselves. He needs us to be in the position where only he can work, because then we will acknowledge when it's done that God did it and it was for his glory and for our good. Now, we all like it after it's done. It's the process that we don't like. God has a purpose for this journey. And part of that includes dealing with problems, and they are part of the journey. It's part of life. It's part of life. One of the things I learned from this experience in the life of the Israelites is that sometimes God has options that I've never thought of. God has options sometimes. We've never thought of. They never anticipated God parting the waters, right? Sometimes you and I don't see any option. Be still. Give God time. and leave it with him. Well, I'm so glad that they learned this lesson that God could solve their problems, because they were going to face more problems, weren't they? In a little bit, they had an experience, you've read about it no doubt, where they didn't have any water. And you know how they responded when they didn't have any water? They said, God's got this. He knows our needs. We had a problem before, we couldn't see any option, and God took care of it. Now we have another problem, we don't see any option. Let's let God take care of it. They learned that lesson. And God did take care of it, didn't he? And then they had another little problem. They needed food. Little problem, needed food. And they stopped and said, why don't we just pray about this right now? And God took care of that problem too, didn't he? Every morning, there was the manna for them. And they learned. So they never had a problem with problems ever again. Just like us, right? We learn it. God provides. God has a purpose for this journey. Problems, yep, they're part of this journey. The third fundamental, the third reality is conflict is part of this journey. I promise you, the people that you interacted with this morning, if they went with you to Japan or to Ireland, sooner or later, as you travel together, you'll have conflict. Yes, I promise. I know because I've traveled. I was visiting with a friend recently who'd been on a group tour to Spain, Portugal, and Morocco. About 30 on a tour bus and traveling around, and then they would sit and have dinner at night and they'd interact with people. And she said, you know, we're interacting with these people and they're complaining. They wanted to stay longer or they didn't want to go. And it's like, this is a group tour. That's all, the schedule's all predetermined. you don't get your own way when you travel with others. Conflict is part of the journey. Chapter 17. Oh, you got to love this. Chapter 17, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert, traveling from place to place. And for a second time, there was no water. And they said, no problem. We've been through this before, right? We know how to deal with problems. They said, God will take care of this, right? Oh, no. So they encouraged Moses, right? They said, Moses, we think you're up for the Leader of the Year award, man. Just one more little thing. Oh, no, they didn't encourage. Says they quarreled with Moses. They had conflict. Well, just a little thing. The people were thirsty and they grumbled. And Moses said, thank you so much for your input. I appreciate your encouragement and support. He said, I'm just so privileged to be your leader. I'll tell you, leadership's a blast. I mean, it's great. I mean, you get to tell people what to do. You get to solve problems. You get to create new ideas. I mean, it's a blast being a leader. I mean, what causes conflict? Well, you know what causes conflict. People don't do what I want them to do. Let me just give you two simple causes of conflict. The first one, conflict is often the result of unfulfilled expectations. And everybody has expectations. You get up this morning, you go to your car, you turn the key, and what do you expect? I think better start. Did you get in the car this morning, turn the key, and it started, and you said, oh, Lord, thank you for my car? Probably not. Why? Because you expected it to start. And you came here and there was heat in the building. And did you walk in and say, wow, this is great. Thank you, Jesus. No, we expected the doors open, lights on, things to work. It's when our expectations aren't fulfilled, then what's going on here? Who messed up? Who didn't? We all have expectations. And we all have expectations on leaders. And it was probably a good 15 years ago, I made a commitment to myself. I'm never reading another book on leadership. I've had it. I'm done. Because the last book I read on leadership, very well known, famous, many of you have probably read it, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And I read that book and I said, there is no hope for me. I can't remember 21 things, let alone do them all. I give up. Because the expectations are higher than I can imagine. I can't do it. The other thing about conflict is that it's often the result of an improper view of responsibility. They blamed Moses. Why? Well, it's your responsibility, man. You got us here, now you got to take care of us. So children have expectations about responsibilities on parents. Parents will have some expectations and what the responsibility and how many of you like responsibility? I'd like to talk to you for about 30 minutes, and I've been given the freedom to do so this morning. So I deem it one of my responsibilities then to fulfill that. Let me give you my very brief theory on why sports is so dominant in our culture. Okay? Three simple things. Write these down and think them through a little bit. Why sports in America is so dominant in our culture. Number one reason is everybody likes winning and success. Okay? Everybody likes winning and success. Number two, there is no long-term commitment in sports. Players, coaches, fans, corporate sponsors. There is no long-term commitment. Your team doesn't win, you're free to change. No consequences. None. Third reason. We can criticize without having any responsibility whatsoever. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have called that play. Shouldn't have done that. Should have done this. We can criticize freely with no accountability or responsibility of our own. Isn't that great? Because we love to criticize. We see something that isn't perfect and we point it out. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty. I must tell you one more thing before we conclude this morning, and that is that a very serious thing here in chapter 17. Verse 7, he called the place Massa and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is God with us or not? Let me assure you, God takes that pretty seriously. For all that they had already been through, for all that they had already seen, go back and read chapter 15 and how great God is. And then they questioned, is God really with us? Some of you are here this morning, and maybe 2022 is like, was God really with me? Does God know what happened to me? Does God see what's going on in my life? God has a purpose for the journey. Problems are going to be part of the journey. And conflict is unavoidable because we're not traveling alone. And where two or three are gathered in God's name, there's going to be differences and conflicts. Well, as we conclude this morning, I want you to indulge me and yet participate with me as we do something a little bit different. Because I want us to usher in 2023 with an understanding that the journey is going to test my faith this year. But God has a purpose. And I want to lead you in prayer this morning about that and ask you to pray with me and to commit with me an acknowledgement that God has a purpose. And then Jeremy's going to come and lead us in prayer as we face the problems in the coming year. We don't know what they are, but we know that God is good. We know that God can lead us. And likely, when I can't, then maybe he will. And then Pastor Ben will conclude and lead us in prayer. And I trust you'll acknowledge with him. In the midst of the conflicts, God, what do you want to teach me? How do you want to change me? So I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer this morning. And I hope you'll affirm these commitments with me collectively. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you have a purpose for our journey. And God, none of us know what today and the coming year may withhold and contain. But on the assurance of the trustworthiness of your word and your character, we believe that you have a purpose for us. And God, we choose today. Lord, I want to cooperate with you. Lord, I want to cooperate. I want you to accomplish your purposes in my life in 2023. And I will give you thanks in advance for what you want to do in my life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, just kind of hearkening back to some of the things that Jack brought to us, struggles and trials and failed expectations can be so much of a challenge to us in our day-to-day, not even just looking at the year ahead, but in our day-to-day. And those days accumulating into a year can be an absolute train wreck if we let them be. Because, Lord, you do bring trials into our lives. You bring us challenges. You bring us tests. We don't often know what they are. And to be completely honest with you, God, we don't need to know. We just need to know that you're good. Help us to recognize our tendency to try to handle these problems on our own. And help us to trust you that no matter what challenges come our way, whether they're big, they're small, big to us, or, you know, perspective can be huge in a lot of this, Lord, but ultimately, you are good, and we need to trust you that no matter what is going on, you are in charge, that you do have a purpose, and then that purpose is ultimately going to be for your glory and our good. Help us to keep that in the fronts of our minds. Help us to know that no matter where things are going, no matter how far from my expectations things are, you are still running the show. Help us to remember that and trust you and lean on you for a good outcome. Even if it's not good right now, ultimately it will be. And we know that we can trust you for that. as we come into the year, Lord, help us to remember that and to lean on you in those moments.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message from your word. We thank you for the example from your people in the book of Exodus that we can learn from. Father, we know this year that we will see conflict. It is inevitable. Some of us are conflict avoiders. We dodge it even when it would be conflict that needs to happen. Some of us are conflict lovers, and we love the drama, and we chase it. And Father, I pray this year we would be conflict learners, that in the conflicts that arise, we would not seek them or shirk them, but we would seek to learn from the conflicts that you bring our way. We would learn both love and patience and generosity of spirit to those we enter into conflict with, and that, Father, you would use the conflicts that we encounter to help open up for us our own hearts. Lord, we know we have conflict when we don't get what we want. And Lord, I pray that you would, again, give us that generosity of spirit and grace toward one another. Lord, that you would be, by your Spirit's work through your word, working in our hearts, that we would increasingly want the things that you want, and that our hearts would be changed. Father, I pray this year would be a great year for us. I don't expect it to be an easy and carefree year. I don't expect to have no problems or conflicts, but I pray that it would be, in all of those things, just a fantastic year for Springview Community Church, that we would draw closer together, that we would together draw closer to you, that you would strengthen our relationships, strengthen our confidence in your word. When we face troubles and conflicts, that our impulse would be, why don't we pray about this together right now? I pray that you would use all of these things to make this a fantastic year for our good and our joy, and Lord, for your glory. Lord, thank you just for the privilege of being here together this morning. I thank you for bringing Jack here to share your word with us, and I pray that you would continue to use it, that we would not walk out and forget these things, but that we would take them with us, and they would guide and govern our thinking and planning as we look ahead to this year. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name.